Peace and love. Peace and love.
Welcome to this neighborhood, neighbor.
My mom always said, life was like a box of chocolates. You never know what you're going to get.
You know what I am? I'm a housewife that figured it out. Wow, 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 woo!
And now, here's the host of Good Things Radio, Brooke Taylor.
Welcome, welcome, welcome to Good Things Radio, episode number 125. My name is Brooke Taylor. Welcome to the show, and we have an eclectic mix for you on the program today. We're talking treadmills.
I am Hans.
And I am Franz, and we just want to pop
your or weights. We're going to pump you up. What is it that you like? Is it running? Is it Taibo? We'll talk about that. We have five connections between the physical and the spiritual life that I think you're going to like. And it was actually prompted by some feedback about the new Nordic track that I told you about on the last show with our favorite things. And I'm still loving the thing on it about every day, something I never thought that I would say about a treadmill, but not everybody's feeling that. So we're going to talk about that, share your input there. And orthodoxy. I told you it was an eclectic mix today, but the Church of the East and West is something that we're going to touch on. If I'm being honest, I discovered that after I came back from my trip to Israel, that I have a bit of a crush on the Orthodox Church, to be in the Holy Land, to see the influences of the early Byzantine Church and then Orthodox and the experience of spending an overnight in the Church of the Holy Sepulchre. That's where I was able to enter into the prayers of not only the Franciscans and the tradition that I love, the Roman, the Latin Catholic Rite, but also the Greek Orthodox tradition. And it was heavenly. And again, in case you missed it, here is just a sonic glimpse of what that sounded like. Yeah, I mean, it really moved my spirit, and I've been thirsty for more. And so we're going to dip our big toe into that world on today's show, too, with the help of our trusty monk, Father Nathan Cromley. So he's back with another Padre in your pocket. We'll also touch on the Arise Retreat, Jim Caviezel, and so much more.
Join the show. Share your feedback on Voxer. Find Brooke at BrookeTaylor1 or shoot us an email at feedback@goodthingsradio.com and be part of the conversation.
Hi, Brooke. It's Mary. I loved your last podcast where you're talking about endings and beginnings, and you had mentioned your new treadmill with the iFitness technology, and you sort of gave like a little demo of the various voices and workouts. And oh my goodness, I felt like cringing when I was just cringing, going, oh, no, shut up, leave me alone, when I heard those voices, because I work out a lot, but I work out sort of my own routine, doing my own thing. When I went back to working out after many years of not doing that, and I sort of started taking exercise classes, it just didn't work for me anymore. Having other people tell me what to do and, you know, kind of in my head like that, you know, it just did not work. And I guess my point is, I think with exercise, it's very, very important to sort of find whatever works for the individual. I know people get very discouraged if they try something and then, you know, it's not fun for them, or they start feeling like it's a chore. So they, you know, people, you know, tend to give up. And I've done that many times. And I guess even like with your prayer life, there are just so many different things you can try. You know, if you're not a walker, you know, try swimming. If, you know, there are so many different things you can do. And I think it's important just to find something that works, you know, for you. And I think, you know, your prayer life is like that too. There are a lot of different devotions out there. You know, for example, I'm just not a novena person. I don't remember to pray them. And I'll start off with the best will, and I'll just give up like halfway through, like through the second or third day. I'm like, I'm forgetting what I'm even praying for. But I am a Bible person. You know, I've got a devotion to scripture. You know, there's so many different ways you can go about doing it. You know, routines are important, but every now and then a routine, perhaps it's healthy to change it a little bit. That's my weird combination of prayer and exercise. But I don't think the two are mutually exclusive. I've certainly been praying for you guys on that, on your little retreat. And I'm positive all the beautiful ladies, the Arise Retreat, are going to have an amazing time. Okay. God bless, Brooke. And keep up the good work.
Thank you. That is Mary from New York City. Well said, Mary. I appreciate that. You made a lot of good points. I'm actually trying to figure out where to jump in and touch on what you said. But I guess just regarding the concept of the iFit trainer in general, that's the coach yelling at you, talking about you. I feel like, and I used to be that way too, Mary, but like the exact opposite now. And I think it's a couple different things as I'm analyzing it, that it's helping educate me. That's one thing I do like about these trainers. They're not just kind of barking orders, but they're telling me, like there was one time we were running, it was in Greece, it was wonderful. And this trainer was saying, you need to make sure you're relaxed from your head, your eyes, your jaw, your shoulders, all the way down. And I thought, man, my jaw was really tense. It's a little thing, but that education aspect of form and inspiration has been really useful. And then also, I feel like I'm getting maximum results with that too. So if I have more in the tank, this coach is going to help bring that out. And so I'm not wasting my time. But you know, too, Mary, I admire your willpower and your brain power because you get the job done without any of that. And that's where I think the mind of the athlete is born. And we've talked about the principles between spirit and body. I love how you then brought that around to prayer. And I so agree. I ran across this article about those two things in particular, Mary. You inspired me to do this. And I thought it was interesting. Wanted to share. It's by Danielle Hardy. And it's 5 connections between our physical bodies and our spiritual life and how that can help rev us up and get us going. I need that every day, both physically and spiritually, and maybe you do too. And these are all things like we know it's self-evident, but it's nice to be reminded of. Number one in this connection is flexibility. She says, increasing flexibility allows a person a greater ability to move freely without fear of injury. In the same way, our muscles need to be lengthened and stretched. The Lord expects us to lengthen our stride and stretch ourselves spiritually. Spiritual stretching. So we all need that in order to become more flexible. I get that. Number two is strength. During strength training, muscle fibers break down and rebuild, which in turn increases muscle strength. In a similar way, God allows us to come to Him when we are spiritually broken, tired, fatigued, and He has promised to change our weaknesses into strengths. I like that. Number three, balance. Oh, balance, balance. That's a biggie. Priorities, balance, all of that. Yes. Having good balance improves athleticism, promotes good communication between the brain and individual muscles. And of course, we can talk all day long about the balance in our lives, the way that we use our time. In the first episode of the year, the last show, we talked about that a lot. The way we spend our time tells a story of who we are, what we're about as Christians. And for us, time should have a purpose. So that's a biggie, I think. Number four is endurance. Isaiah 40, but they that wait upon the Lord shall run and not grow weary. They should walk and not grow faint. And so often our physical lessons teach us spiritual lessons. For me personally, running has taught me a lot about endurance, not giving up. And that's why every now and then I do like to do a race because it is nice to actually see that visible finish line. And when I want to give up and when I'm tired, there's also a spiritual element and that kinesthetic experience that goes with it. And then five is maintain a regular long-term exercise program. Everybody and their mother are talking about exercise right now, but long-term, daily, lifelong is the key. I'm turning 40 this year, so that's been a big thing for me because I'm actually surprised at how it's kind of gotten in my head a little bit because I am also a caregiver and that component of needing to be strong for my daughter, feeling how tired I am every day. And I know it's kind of like a seasonal thing too, but I just feel like I'm getting old. And so I want to take the days I have, use them well, build my body, not in a vain way, but in a way that will allow me to be a good steward of what she needs too. I do think it's got to be lifelong, long-term, just like the eating, the diet thing. That's so tough. That can be really frustrating and challenging, but it's what we're called to do. We are called to do hard things. A recent study from health.com, I'm reading this now, suggests not only does working out increase feel-good neurotransmitters such as serotonin, there are many workouts that have been created to build up you to build you up mentally and physically. The act of moving your body helps your brain become more balanced and mindful of your emotions. Oh, is that a good one? So there you have it. I think really good. And when it comes to your physical routine, I'm curious, what do you do? What are you not doing? What is it that inspires you? Have you set any goals for yourself this year? I'm still kind of trying to figure out mine. So it would be kind of nice to share if you get a chance. You can email me. It's feedback@goodthingsradio.com or else Voxer. You can leave voice feedback like Mary, Brooke Taylor, and the number one, or like Michelle.
Hey, Brooke, it's Michelle. First thing, I just want to tell you about your Holy Land podcast. I just absolutely loved. Oh, my gosh. I was starting to tear up because you started talking about how you didn't really feel like a connection at first. And you said something like, is this the land of my Lord? Oh, I was dying. I'm so glad I listened to it before, you know, I'm going to go, because it's good to be prepared like that. And then you're overnight at the Holy Sepulchre. That's like my dream. Secondly, I couldn't comment because you didn't have comments enabled for that Instagram post about the treadmill, but your treadmill sounds awesome. I can't afford a treadmill, but it does sound like you made the right purchase. But you had said that you're turning 40 this year, and I'm turning 40 this year too. So yay, twinsies. Okay. And then I also wanted to mention that Marriages of Grace retreat. So my sister and her husband went last year, and I really want them to go this year. March 4th is their anniversary. So they went last year around the same time, and they liked it. And I messaged my sister and I said, Brooke Taylor and her husband are talking. And I've never heard Brooke really give a witness, but I mean, I have and haven't, but I'm sure she'll be great. So you got to go. Anyways, keep going. I love the show. I just love that you still do your podcast. I look forward to it all the time, listening to it. All right. Have a good night. Bye.
Oh my goodness. Boy, there again. So much. I'm just wrapping it all in a big hug. So thank you so much for your feedback, Michelle. And yes, it is actually a really busy 2018 when it comes to events and different fun things, but that marriage conference is a biggie. And so that's coming right up. Now, last year at this, it's called Marriages of Grace. So this event featured Teresa Tomeo from EWTN and her husband. They spoke. And so I feel a little pressure. I'm a little nervous, but my husband and I are going to be speaking. Father Paul Schultz will be there as well. So if you are in Ohio and you can check it out, you can come with your spouse. It's going to be on Saturday, March 3rd. And I do like that it's a one-day conference, although I would love to do a weekend conference, but it's kind of nice knowing that it's one day and we can really zero in, drill down, and work on our marriage, take away a lot of good things. It's better than not doing anything. And I know the graces that come with that, just like a trip, you know, they stay with you for a long time to come. But you can find out more. Sign up if you are in Ohio, and it's Marriages of Grace on the Facebook page, and you can find it there. And also, I'd humbly appreciate your prayers as we are preparing our Arise team for a weekend this weekend. We're going to be going away for a retreat as we get ready for the retreat in April, Divine Mercy Weekend. And this has been in the works for months, so we're just kind of gathering to solely prepare our hearts and our prayers for the Arise Retreat, which is Divine Mercy Weekend, April 5th through the 8th. If you want to come, there still is room. We have between 8 and 10 spots, I think, the last time I checked. And I always link up the retreat information on the show notes, but if you need an experience that will immerse you, steep you in a spiritual experience, this is it. And it's called Arise for a Reason. The entire purpose of that is to stand up. As it says in Psalms, the Lord will lift your face, that you will look at him, that you will keep your gaze on him, and that you will leave a new creation. And that's the hope and the purpose of this retreat. So I'm excited again for this particular weekend, and it's going to be at Santa Clara Monastery. That's where our little core team is going to meet. And that, by the way, I know I've shared this before, but it's the place that Mother Angelica made her solemn vows. Saint Mother Teresa stayed in one of the cells that we're going to be staying in, which just blows my mind. And it's the Poor Clare Monastery, which just happens to be right next door to a Romanian Orthodox church, which brings me to the latest topic that's kind of been on my heart quite a lot lately. I want you to listen to something. Check this out. Hey. So that is actually the Our Father, the Pater Noster in Aramaic, sung by an Orthodox group that moved Pope Francis to tears. He was in the country, he was in Georgia, and it's just, as you can hear, amazing. And the Orthodox influence in the Holy Land was undeniable. So then just as I came home and wanted to learn more, there's so much, you know, you're just overwhelmed by a trip like that. But I wanted to learn more about the different traditions, the Abrahamic faiths, and also the Crusades. But I also felt a newfound love for my Orthodox brothers and sisters. When we were overnight in the Church of the Holy Sepulchre, we had an opportunity to see them chant and pray. And I did have an opportunity to witness their divine liturgy and even the way they receive the Eucharist, always and only receiving on the tongue. It's quite beautiful. And then after they receive communion, they never turn their back to go back to the pew. They just back up because they don't want to have their back to Jesus being presented in the host, the Holy Eucharist. So that alone is beautiful. I don't know an analogy that would be adequate other than to say, like, if maybe you ever go into a store or someone's house and you're thinking, wow, this is amazing. This is really nice. And then you go and you find an entire section and you're thinking, I didn't know this was back here. This is amazing. I feel in some ways that's kind of how it is. We know and love. I love my church and my faith and in understanding Jesus through who he is in scripture and the sacraments and the tradition in the history. And then to find this other beautiful portion of my faith that I haven't really spent a lot of time exploring has been really exciting. But I wanted to bring Father Nathan in to talk about this specifically. He does such a good job and it's so complicated. So this is going to be about a 7-minute Padre in your pocket, but well worth it as he explains a little bit of Orthodoxy and what we need to know, kind of an Orthodox Church 101 for the layperson. So check it out. Here's Father Nathan Cromley with more in A Padre in Your Pocket.
Padre in your pocket. On good things, great deal.
Hi, everybody. This is Father Nathan with another Padre in Your Pocket. This time I want to talk to you about a complicated historical issue, but it's a good one because it's one that affects all of us and that we constantly interact with. And it's called the schism or the divide between the Eastern and the Western Church. So a lot of you might know or you might see things called the Orthodox Church floating around. Just like you hear of the Roman Catholic Church, you hear of the Greek Orthodox or the American Orthodox or the Romanian Orthodox or the Ukrainian Orthodox. You can just keep going down the whole list of Orthodox churches. And you say, where do these come from and what is their relation to us? Well, I'd like just to give you a very, very brief introduction into what this is all about. What happened basically is that when Christianity originally began to spread, she spread as, of course, one church, and we call that church the Catholic Church with a small c. That means the universal church, the Church of Jesus Christ, which was both invisible and visible. Invisible in the sense of all that Jesus wanted to give was present in her, even if you can't always see that. And visible in the sense that, well, you have priests, bishops by name who specifically are your shepherds. And you know who's in charge and where you're at and all the other benefits of being belonging to a visible institution. Well, as history had it, we grew, of course, throughout the Mediterranean basin and around and in through Rome. And then one fateful day, what happened was basically, I mean, like, again, it's a very brief story, but the Pope made a decision to include certain words in the creed. And he didn't consult the other main bishops of the world. He kind of just like did it on his own because he was Peter and he could do that. And the other bishops of the world, there were 5 main patriarchs, and they objected to this. And there was a split saying that, wait a second, the church used to be kind of focused on all the Mediterranean bases and the kingdom's capital was in Constantinople. And now all of a sudden, the kingdom shifted kind of towards Rome and the Roman Empire. And now the Roman bishop, the Bishop of Rome, the Pope, he decides to do something without consulting us. Well, we're going to split. again, that's a very obviously cursory explanation. But what happened was that ancient churches started to divide. And the church in Rome, which is, of course, the Roman Catholic Church that we talk about, well, we took the prerogative of saying, well, our bishop is the successor of Peter, and therefore he has the right to do this, which, of course, he does have that right, but he just hadn't exercised it so liberally before as to add words to the creed, which he did, saying that the Holy Spirit proceeds from the Father and the Son, and he didn't consult the other bishops. So the other main bishops of the world, Constantinople and Alexandria and Jerusalem and Antioch, they got all upset and they said, well, that's it. The Bishop of Rome has gone too far. We disagree. And then politics got involved. And in any case, there was a big split. Well, that means that you have a split between the Church of the East and the Church of the West. We belong as Roman Catholics to the Church kind of the West, that is of Rome. And the Church of the East belongs to those other patriarchs who continue to govern her. And then there's kind of like a separation of culture and of life and even of language. The Church of the East keeping its own languages and the Church of the West taking on Latin. All this happened around the years 1000, 1100, 1254, etc. So it was a long time ago. But that's left us with this kind of rift where you have churches that have the same ancient origin, the apostles' original proclamation, then kind of being divided in how they're governed. So you have the same faith in the Orthodox Church, saints, Mary, the Eucharist, the priesthood, the seven sacraments, etc. But you have a difference in how they're governed, and that the church in the West really emphasizes the role of Saint Peter, the Bishop of Rome, and the Pope, therefore, that we have. Whereas the Church of the East, well, they have kind of like their own popes, plural. So they kind of recognize their own supremacy in their region, but they don't make a claim to saying we are the church of the entire world. Whereas Western Church says, actually, yes, we are, because we have the top apostle, St. Peter, as our founder. Or not our founder, but our chief vicar of Christ on earth. So what does that leave us? That leaves us with a Latin church and a Greek, or I'm sorry, but an Eastern Orthodox church. So that word Orthodox means correct teaching, correct faith, correct belief. And it means everybody who's not a Roman Catholic, effectively, in the churches that date all the way back to Jesus Christ. What does this mean? This means that we need to find a way to reach out to our separated brethren in the Orthodox Church, to respect their liturgy, and even to learn and gain from them. Because what they have given us is so profound and so beautiful, because they are as old as we are in the Roman Catholic tradition. And they, in the same way, have to learn and gain from us. The John Paul II, when speaking about this division, said, we need to become a church that breathes with both lungs, East and West. And we in the West, we typically just think of Protestantism and Catholicism as the big ecumenical divide. But in fact, there's another divide that we need to heal as well, which is between the West and the East. And not just between Catholics and Protestants in the West, but between Catholics and their separated brethren, the Orthodox, towards the East. And so what does this mean for us? This means that we have an immense, beautiful treasure to gain from the experience and the life and the faith of our brethren in the Orthodox churches. And at the same time, we have a lot that we can understand about our own history by understanding better theirs. And so I encourage you to reach out to your separated brethren to understand where this comes from. Where do we see this? Well, we see the best place to reach this bridge in what we call the churches that are Byzantine Catholic. Byzantine Catholics would be Orthodox churches that have said, well, we actually do believe in the Pope, but we want to continue our traditions that date all the way back to the apostles belonging to the Eastern cultures. And these Byzantine churches, therefore, are places where we have the same exact faith and just with different cultural emphases and a different set of traditional values, therefore. So I hope to continue this on in later podcasts with you, but I wanted to at least make these few points to you and encourage you to discover the Church of the East, because she indeed is part of our own heritage in the West. God bless everybody. Take care.
Thank you. Thank you, Father Nathan. Wow. So he's not only wearing his theologian hat, but his history hat as well. And I think he did a great job because every little thing he touched on, he could go deeper into easily, from the filioque and when he mentioned about the creed and that schism, really. I mean, they had to have a council to discuss that and to then, you know, yes, some, so the Orthodox, their churches, their priests are married and going back, and the language, as he talked about. So there's so much, and I'm not even close to doing it justice, but I'm still learning and I'm not going to change my faith. I just want to enlarge my understanding. When I mentioned Santa Clara Monastery, and as I was kind of segueing into this topic about how there's this Orthodox church that's right next to this monastery, they do a lot of things together. They're very friendly. They share feast days, they share festivals. And so that has been interesting. They're both very traditional. And we had years ago gone on like a scout field trip there and got a tour of the church. And they said, you can come and receive Eucharist at our church. It's accepted. And as Father Nathan said, the importance of a church that breathes with both lungs. I love that quote by John Paul II. And so it's been on my list of things that I've wanted to do for years, but I've never attended a divine liturgy service. So I was looking in the bulletin of this church to see, it's kind of out of the way. I wanted to go by myself just to kind of check it out first, because I don't know how long it is. I don't know if it's going to be in English. And so I thought, I'm just going to go like maybe on a day when the kids are in school and I can take notes and just kind of sit in the back. And so as I was looking at the bulletin, I realized for their Feast of the Epiphany, they have the most amazing tradition where you toss a cross into the water. Have you heard of this? I found this article and I just wanted to zero in on one little part of it. It talks about Tarpon Springs, Florida, and how Tarpon Springs has been dubbed Epiphany City because for the Greek Orthodox, this small little city is believed to be the world's largest Epiphany celebration. But all over the world, I had shared on my social media from Istanbul, Turkey, they do this tradition. And it says here in this article, the dive is a ritual that recalls Jesus' baptism by John the Baptist in the River Jordan. It is also the culmination of an intentional and prayerful effort to steep young men in the tradition of the church and form them as faithful Christians. The Reverend Michael Accorino said, these young men have to start to learn how to do hard things. There's that word again, how to do hard things. Life is full of hard things. They have to learn to stand up, but in the light of Jesus Christ, and the nexus is the gospel. So it talks about this feast day and how more than 10,000 people go to Tarpon Springs every year to see this. And whoever gets that cross, the priest tosses it in the water, and there's all these young men, 16 to 18, only boys, and they compete to receive this cross. And whoever gets it is blessed, and they are able to keep it, and they kind of have momentary celebrity in the church, you know, an exciting thing. But all of the boys kiss it. It's an honor to do it. And so that's what he talks about in this article. He says, about 10 years ago, the church noticed that the dive had become more of a sporting event, a competition, of course, because you know it's guys, they're going to do that. But he said, in response, the church began requiring potential divers to attend weekly classes and write about their faith. So this is what I love and what I really wanted to share with you. It says, the writing prompts the divers to consider the presence of God in their daily lives. The boys are reminded of their baptisms and asked to name five ways they display love for God every day. I thought about this and I thought, I want to do this with my boys. I'm not going to have them dive in our little pond and do all that, but I do think that is a good idea for all of us. He's drawing on Matthew 25, 14 through 30, the talents, the parable of the talents for this question. They are then asked to name three talents God has given them and how those are put to service in the church. Do you feel God loves you? How do you respond to those who sin against you? Do you read the Bible daily and why? And if you were to die instantly, what would death look like? So Father, here, he says, the church is trying to prick their consciences. The true tradition of Epiphany lies in its meaning. What the questions are all about is to have the young men have some kind of epiphany. What is my life about? What does it mean to drop in this water after a cross? It's about what my life is all about. And am I even worthy to participate in this? And I just love how There's tradition. I love heritages. You know, when we adopted our daughter from Poland, it was so exciting because I felt like, yes, we are adopted Poles because they have so many like wedding feasts, dances and prayers and traditions and all of the things year round that you might see in the ethnic communities that I think in some ways we're kind of losing. And I was talking to a girlfriend of mine and she said, I feel like our family is so splintered off, but everybody goes to different churches, they're different denominations. It used to be in a community that was the nucleus, that was the center. The children were born and would be baptized there. They'd receive their sacraments, first communion, confirmation. They would get married there and they would die and the funerals would be there. And those gatherings would all center around those life events, the holy sanctity of these experiences that we have in our community, in our families, in our homes, and in our churches. So those are the things that I have just found so fascinating and have kind of been going on this walk with the Orthodox brothers and sisters. And I'm still home with my Roman brothers and sisters in the Latin Rite, and always will be. But I just found that it's been just a really interesting, beautiful journey and wanted to share that with you. And before we wrap up the show, I can't forget Jim Caviezel. He made a surprise appearance and gave a powerful talk at the Focus Conference. And FOCUS stands for Fellowship of Catholic University Students. My friend, music artist Ben Walther, was there and said the highlight for sure, one of them, was the surprise appearance by Jim Caviezel. It's been shared and reshared, and it deserves to be. So I'm only going to play a little snippet in the event that you've already heard this, but I do think it bears repeating, and a very inspiring speech.
Every man dies, not every man truly lives. You, we all must fight for that authentic freedom and live, my friends. By God, we must live. And with the Holy Spirit as your shield and Christ as your sword, may you join Saint Michael and all the angels in sending Lucifer and his henchmen straight right back to hell where they belong.
Yeah, wow. Man, I want more of that. He is awesome. And don't you love that? So again, that's just like dropping in to one part of it. It's about 15 minutes in length, and the speech is available online if you haven't by chance heard it by now. And you can also, we'll link it up in the show notes as well. But Jim Caviezel is playing St. Paul in a new movie, by the way, set for release on March 28th. Can't wait. And that's Easter weekend. That's right around Holy Thursday, Good Friday. So that is going to be fantastic. I know it. And again, I think echoing the theme that we talked about on the last show, the personal theme for me in 2017, again in 2008, the joy of God is man fully alive. And that's it. So whether you are working out or praying or crying or cleaning, may you be fully alive and encounter Christ in every breath, every blink, every work and deed. God bless you, friends. And before we wrap up the show today, I just want to thank you again for your condolences with my friend Linda Isaiah, Pastor Linda, the death of her husband, Errol. She sends great love and appreciation every day. She says she's standing because of the prayers and God's grace and strength keeping her there and lifting her up. But it's hard. So thank you again so much for your prayers. Remember also, Choose Joy, the book, the 52-week devotional, is available on Amazon now. And there are a lot of beautiful books out there. So many great things to read. I think my husband's actually going to cut off my Amazon account because I just keep ordering stuff and I can't help it. We are in such a blessed era, I think, of authors and writers. And so thank you for choosing Choose Joy and letting that be one that's in your libraries. Thank you again for your support. Thank you a million times over for our Podbean patrons and your faithful support of this program. It's because of you that Good Things Radio is here and that we are going and growing, and we're just so thankful for that so much. Next week on the show, it should be quite interesting. We are going to be coming to you from Santa Clara Monastery, in the cloister retreat. I actually received special permission to sneak in an audio recorder, and we're going to be doing a show. So that will be with our retreat team. I'm excited to bring. Last time we did that, we did a game. I don't know what we're going to do this time around, but suffice it to say, it will be fun for episode 126 next week. And a big thank you to my producer, Mark Cumming from Cumming Home Studio, for his dynamic skills and quick work. He is a producer extraordinaire and wears many hats. And you can find out more about him at Cumming Home Studio. studio.com. God bless you and keep you, and may you feel fully alive, friends. Until next time, peace and love. God bless you.